It's so good being back with you. Oh, what a great song. Oh, my gosh. A great song, a great singer. My goodness. I love that lyric. My child is next in a line that has no ending. And here am I feeling life that her child will feel when I'm long gone. Yes, all that was is part of me as I am part of what to be. And thus it is, our story goes on. And on, and on, and on, and on. It's mystical. That song is from a wonderful show called Baby, written by Richard Maltby and David Shire. This young woman has felt the first kick of her child inside of her. And at that moment, she went from knowing that she was pregnant to knowing she was a mother. One is a concept. The other one is that aha moment. For this woman, that realization was a true spiritual awakening about who she was. Psychologists call it a peak experience. Abraham Maslow was the first one to name that. In Scripture, we find that many peak experiences. Moses had one with the burning bush. The bush wasn't burning, he was burning within. Paul on the road to Damascus had that awakening. He was blinded by light. I had that. Many of you here know that's how all this began. I was doing a spiritual exercise. I was in Toronto doing a musical, and I was reading a Catherine Ponder book, and I was doing an exercise, and I was blinded by light. Couldn't see anything. I thought I was dying. I thought I was having a stroke. I thought the drugs I had done finally were catching up to me. Uh-oh. And then I heard the voice of God saying, you're going to do this work. I went, no, not me. This is what the Israeli philosopher Martin Buber calls the I-Thou experience. The I-Thou experience is a powerful philosophy that he came up with. One day he was standing on the street corner and he looked down and he happened to see a rock. And he looked at that rock, and all of a sudden, within him, he had a full awakening that this rock and he were one. And from there, he was one with all of the universe. And it was so powerful, he created a new philosophy around it called I-Thou. This life-changing discovery led to the theory of I-Thou and I-It. We have two experiences, according to Buber, on this planet, I thou and I that. Take, for example, a tree. If you ram your car into a tree, it was in your way. How dare that tree get in my way? I was making a right turn, and there it was. So here we have an it that is an obstacle, that is an object. But now you go home, you go visit home, and there's an elm tree that you used to climb and sit in for hours and hours. That tree is family, isn't it? I had a cherry tree in my grandmother's backyard. It was family. I thou with the cherry tree, I it with the accident. We can change our mind at any time and bless whatever tree we have in front of us. It is a separation from the rest of life, and I thou is the realization of all life together. It is when somebody on the bus is yelling into their phone a conversation you'd rather not be listening to. That horrible woman, that inconsiderate man over there. I thou is discovering that annoying woman is someone you've been looking for 20 years. It's her. She's not annoying, she's my best friend. I haven't seen since 12th grade. It became I thou. It is that guy at the bar with 12 hands who's been annoying you all night. Thou is the same guy the next day who's the casting director for the show you're auditioning for. Well, in the light of day, he's kind of cute. Even though you may not still find him attractive, he's not as annoying anymore. Because it's a different situation. I thou is a realization that the goodness of life, the power of God, is present and fully at work in you at all times. But on the planet, it's often hard to get to that I thou because it keeps coming at us. So no matter what picture presents itself to us over and over again, we have to realize I am one with all life and there's no power outside of myself. It's this awareness of God's power at work that determines the story of our lives that we tell not only other people, but that we're telling ourselves every day, all day long. Like the song says, all that was is part of me as I am part of what's to be. And thus it is our story goes on and on. In the Bible, they put it this way, the sins of the previous generation shall visit each succeeding generation. Now, that seems rather harsh. But what that means metaphysically is that the story you're telling your family is the story your family will continue to tell each other. What was the story in your family? Was it negative? Was it positive? We usually have a mixture of both. Here, this woman singing about a baby, but she could be singing about any creative process whatsoever. What story are you and I telling other people, telling ourselves, and telling the universe as a whole about what and who we are, what our lives have been, and what our lives are going to continue to be from now on? We do love our stories, don't we? You're not going to believe what happened to me. Oh my God, tell me more. Hold on, let me get a coffee. My mom loved her stories. Loved them. As the World Turns, Guiding Light, Another World, and Edge of Night. Remember those? Or at least growing up and walking by and go, okay. They're still crying 2 years later about the same thing. No one was allowed to talk while they were on, at least not in her hearing. We could talk in the other room, but not too loudly. And then we couldn't talk while she would call to her girlfriends to recap what happened. Especially if the girlfriend hadn't seen that episode that day. Darce, I had no idea Rachel was cheating on Stephen. Then Marge saw Steve with Lenore at Pine Valley Inn, and if you kids don't calm down, I'll bring the belt in there. And then Ada drove the car over the edge, and then her daughter didn't recognize her. Oh my God, it was awful. What a wreck, Darce, it was a wreck. And then Mom would feel better. And then we'd eat. What story do you keep telling yourself over and over again? What are you getting out of it? What are we getting out of our stories? We're getting, oh my God, tell me more. And are you a wreck because of it? Telling the same story over and over and over again. You know, the word for story is an old Latin word for knowledge. So story means your knowledge. Also related is history, wit, witty, and witness. A witness is somebody who has knowledge of what has happened. So your story is what you know about yourself. It's what you want others to know about you. So think about what that story is that you've been telling. It's your telling about you in the way that you have perceived your life up to this point. Is your story a comedy or tragedy? Is it a Seinfeld episode? Or is it an episode of America Horror Story? What are you getting more out of? What's the payback you're getting? The truth is, you are, and I am here, on a divine mission to create the best, most creative, most enlightening, most wonderful life we could ever imagine. That's why we're here. Unity teaches us that we create our lives through our thoughts, what we're thinking about all day, what we're feeling, what words we use all day long, and what actions we are taking all day long. Our great teacher and elder brother Jesus said, it is not what goes into our mouth that defiles us, it's what comes out all day long. We diminish our lives by diminishing our story. We diminish who we are by what we're telling. Today, I invite you to consider a new story. Consider telling a new story about you. You know, the truth is, the fact is, our lives aren't always easy. Agreed? It's not always easy. I mean, even being a unity truth student, knowing the truth, knowing we're human beings, or spiritual beings having a human experience, we can go through some stuff that doesn't feel good at all. The truth is, we came here knowing it was going to be difficult at times because we put that into our chart. We said, I'm going to the planet to have a great time, but there are also things I need to learn along the way. And they may not tickle at times. It may seem to go on for a long time. But when we're on the other side, we go, that's a piece of cake. I know I'm one with God. But we get here, what happens? We get amnesia. We totally forget who we are as spiritual beings, and we think we're only human. And we buy into this story that the planet tells us that we take up for ourselves after that. But having the inner knowledge that God was at work on the other side, we knew that we would not fail. And what we're here every Sunday doing, and when we do our reading and meditating, is remembering, I can't fail with God at work. I cannot fail with God at work. So we need to rewrite those old, tired soap operas that we've been yapping about for way too long. So instead of, we were so poor growing up, fill in the blank, now it's we had to be creative with our resources. And look at me now. Instead of, I was called ugly my whole life, my whole childhood, now it's, I didn't have classic features to rely on. Right? I had to use all of my divine self to become this amazing person that you see in front of you now. Now, you may not want to say that out loud immediately, but know that story for yourself, and it will glow forth. Eleanor Roosevelt is a perfect example of that. Did you watch the Roosevelts? Oh, my gosh. What a great series that was. And Eleanor Roosevelt had to get through that. She had to tell a new story for herself. Instead of saying, alcoholism destroyed my family and my life, now it's, I survived. I am a survivor of what I had to go through to get to where I am. I survived one of the most intense childhoods anyone could have, and I am strong. I got through that, and I can get through this. That is the new story that we're telling ourselves. We aren't looking to diminish what happened. That's not what we're talking about here. We did go through something, and it might have been horrible. It might have been traumatic in your life. But look at you. You're here. You survived that story. You survived that childhood. You are here. Please turn to hymn number 125, I'm Still Here. I just keep it something. You're sitting here today looking and smelling really good. No matter what happened to you, you're here. And you're laughing. You could laugh at that, right? One person's like, yeah, I can do that. So what we have to do is we have to acknowledge it happened. That's the first part of healing. Acknowledge the thing happened. Grieve through it. Work with a therapist or whoever you need to work through that to come to terms that you did go through that. Do your spiritual forgiveness work. And also know there will always be a scar. The scar will be there. Embrace it. Love it for reminding you that you survived and got here today. What is Elaine Stritch says, we all have our bag of rocks. You could take out the heavy ones. You're done with those. Done with the heavy ones. Leave the pebbles. You don't have to carry those around with you anymore. But the scar is here as a reminder of, they didn't win, I did. I did. Now, sometimes the scar may be tender. There are times it'll maybe flare up. You say, okay, that's part of being here. That's part of what I went through. Embrace that divine wound as a holy reminder of your power and know that you and God, I, thou, are at work. That is not a bad thing to have the scar. It's to remind you you're tougher. You're divine. And you're going to continue to be here. For me, my story was about having a monster of an abusive stepmother. That was my story I told over and over again. And I realized at one point in my unity unfoldment, I needed to take a news story about her because I was really getting tired of this woman. I was tired of carrying her in my bag of rocks. She was just way too much to carry around with me. So I then went into meditation, and the news story was that, and this is the truth, my stepmother was mentally ill. She was a very, very sick woman. And she didn't know any better. If she knew better what she was doing, then she would have made other choices. I was convenient. I happened to be there. But it was not about me. It never was about me. It was about her own demons within her. And yes, I have an inner scar from that, but the scars, again, are a sign of life. My childhood got me to where I am today. It made me a healer. It made me this minister that I am today. So I embrace that, and I'm grateful to have gotten through that to get the lessons from it. So this evening, I invite you to say, to look at your scars and see, where did they bring you to? You wouldn't be here today if it were not for that journey that you had to take. So this evening, please don't put this off. Sometimes, oh, that sounds great, and then we get to watching stories and other things on television, so we don't get to our own story. So this evening, turn the TV off for at least an hour or two and write out your new story. Reframe it as a story of your victory. It's who you are today. Now, the second part of that is now creating your ongoing story. Again, you need to have that new beginning to do that, right? George Bernard Shaw, he was great. He never minced words. He wrote, "This is the true joy of life, the being used for a purpose that is recognized by yourself as the right one. Instead of being a feverish, selfish little clod of ailments and grievances, complaining that the world will not devote itself to making you happy." Now, in Unity, we wouldn't use that phrase, selfish little clod. But we get his point. That we, if we see ourselves as a selfish little clod, we're going to act that way until we change our minds and know we are truly here for a divine purpose. You and I are the only ones that can make ourselves happy. We understand that? You're responsible for your happiness. The world isn't. The world never will. It can't because it doesn't care. It just doesn't care about you. In Will and Grace, I love the character of Karen because she represents the world so perfectly. At one point, somebody asked her to do something, and she said, "Oh, honey, I can't do that." And they said, "Why?" She said, "Because I don't want to." Kind of a good way of taking back your power, but it's also... Amen. But God, the universe, does care about you. The universe created you. The universe loves you and supports you at every moment. But it's only going to feed back the story you tell it. My story is what I'm going to get back from the universe. The universe is an echo. What I put out there, I get back. If I tell a story of lack, what do I get back? Lack. If I tell a story of how no one will ever love me, I become Taylor Swift. Right? I think she gets a relationship so she can break up and write another hit song. Good for her. I mean, she seems to be working for her life, but that's the story. And it continues on and on and on and on. If I keep telling my body how old it is, how flabby, how wrinkly, how achy it is, I'll never get away from my story because it will become a part of who I am. It is infused in my cells, in my tissues, and in my muscles. So the more I tell my body something, science is even proving this now. Every time you say, "I'm having a senior moment," yourself records that as a truth. Oh, yeah, no more of that. There are no senior moments. Only a casual remembrance. Sometimes it may take you a while to remember your daughter's name. Sounds like Sharon. I'll get that. How soon do you need to know? So if you want vibrant health, tell a healthy story about you. If you want more abundance, write a story of your success. Now, if you want a hot, gorgeous, sizzling, sexy mate, now you're listening. Okay, what? Would you repeat that, please? You've got to tell the story of a hot, gorgeous, sizzling, sexy you. What you want can only come when you're it. Oh, fine. It's true. You've got to be that which you're looking for. Bump up the hot. Bump up the sexy, the gorgeous. I see you're going to do that later. Okay, that's fine. That's good to go. But we can't have anything that's not a part of our essential self. That's the truth. If it isn't a part of you, you can't have it. So if you want it, increase the story about that part of you. If you have a desire for anything, that God implanted that in you before you got here. It is a part of you, and it's a part of the story that's waiting, longing to be told. We don't receive what's ours by divine right, that we know is ours by divine right, because we're telling a bad story about it, that's all. If you don't have what you're looking for, somehow you're telling a bad story about this thing that you're looking for. Life responds to your story, icky or exciting. But it's your story. You get to tell it however you want to. Change your story and change your life. That's the bottom line. Change the story you're telling about you, and your life will reflect it. It's that simple. Not necessarily easy, but it's simple. Keep at it. Keep at it. And what you write in your thoughts, what you're writing in every act you take, and what you're speaking is going to show up eventually. So recently, it's wonderful how Spirit gives us opportunities to work with this stuff, isn't it? So recently, I needed a lot of money for an obligation that came up for me. I mean, a lot of money, which was not immediately available to me. So I didn't know where it was going to come from, but as a Unity minister who teaches this stuff, my affirmation is, where the hell am I going to get so much frigging money? I needed a better story than that. So I did prayer work. That's what I do for a living. Okay, so I prayed, I meditated, I did my angel guidance stuff. If you've been to a retreat, you know I've done some angel cards and other wonderful work with the wonderful guides that we have on the other side. And I kept receiving the truth. I kept hearing in my meditation time and the cards, everything kept pointing to say, abundant good is yours. I kept pulling the same card every time. New abundance is pouring forth, new opportunities for good are revealing itself to you. This is a very exciting time. That you've gone through a real difficult time, and now the good is coming forth. Like, oh, good, yeah, wonderful. So I kept pulling the card, and my affirmation was, yeah, yeah, blah, 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 show me the money. Enough with the card already. I get the card. I memorize the card. Give me the money. You know, even metaphysical practitioners have to go through the valley of the shadow every once in a while. We go, what story am I telling? What am I doing here? What's this all about? So we are very spiritual beings having a very human experience. So I finally said, I'm letting this go. It's not working. I'm tired. My blood pressure's up. This is just not working for me. I let it go, and I use my favorite affirmation. God's got this. God has got this. Thank you, God. God's got this. Affirm that with me. God's got this. Yeah, yeah, blah, 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 blah. So I really did feel like, there was a aha that we get when we have a realization. I go, okay, God's got this. I can't wait to see how God's got this and when it's going to show up. So I got back from being out of town. I got this lovely thank you note from somebody saying that they appreciated the work that I did. And they put a check in with her. It was like, that was really lovely for them to send a check. I get one of those once in a while. It's really lovely to know that people appreciate what I do. I had to look at this check three times to make sure I was seeing it correctly. It was the exact amount of money I needed to clear up the obligation. Exactly the amount. I told no one. No one knew this number. I was like, yeah. It was. All it took was changing my story ever so briefly, and the universe slipped in. As the Father said to Jesus, I'm willing to be willing. And that's all it took. just a willingness to say, okay, here's a number. It seems really big, but there's no big number in God. And it's like, who told this person the amount I needed? God. It's there. It's there. My job is to change my tune, change my story. God just needs your willingness to tell a new tale, to sing a new song, to stop telling the universe what's wrong with you and to start saying what's right about your life. To start declaring what is right and wonderful and good and perfect about you. Because you are all those things. Now we need to know that within ourselves. Drop the old story that never worked for us and now tell the new one. So for the rest of the day, I want you to pretend to be excited about what's coming. Because, you know, the more we pretend something, the more it happens. That's how acting is. When you see really good actors on stage, they're there in the moment. They know everything. They know you're there. They know there are lines, but they're in the moment, and those emotions are real. So pretend to be excited. Pretend that it's all right there, and then it will show up. You're telling the universe, here's how I want it to be. Your story is waiting for you to take it in a whole new direction. So I invite you to take a breath and close your eyes. Let's begin now by going within and knowing it's a new day, it's a new beginning, it's a new chapter in the wonderful story of your wonderful life. Breathe in. And as always, we sing our way into the quiet within. I am so blessed for all that I am, all that I have, and all that God is. Know that to be the truth. I am so grateful. I am so blessed for all that I have, all that I am, and all that God is. For all that I am.
I am so blessed. I am so blessed. I am so grateful for all that I am. I am so blessed. I am so blessed. I am so grateful.
One more time, a little quieter.
I am so blessed. I am so blessed. I am so grateful for all that God is. I am so blessed. I am so blessed. I am so grateful.
Breathe in. Let go. Let go of that old story. It's not working. Never did, really. We take a new story, a new song. A new narrative about the truth of this child of God. And that is, no matter what has happened in the past, I am a new creation of spirit. What did I learn about me? What did I learn about what I don't want? What seemed like it would never heal, but is? Because someone else may have hurt your body, they may have hurt your feelings, but they could never hurt the God being that you are. That part is untouchable,
by human hands or by the world. That part is pure, untouched, powerful. That's the part we're allowing today to come forth into our minds, into our cells and tissues and atoms as the true self of who we are. God, divine, holy, sacred, beautiful, loving, light-filled. Feel the power of God moving in and through your mind, your breath, every beat of the heart. Remember who you are. And as we do, we take a new thought. Divine order is at work in my mind and body. I am whole and well. Breathe this truth in. Get excited about this wonderful truth of you. Divine order is at work in my mind, in my body, in my life. I am whole and well because God is my wholeness itself. Let that take hold. We are also excited about the idea of creative ideas being revealed through us now. I am successful in whatever gives me joy. Hold that truth. I am successful in whatever gives me joy. It's mine to call. What gives me joy in life? What wakes me up in the morning? With it on my mind and my heart. That is yours to do. That's your life journey. Your job is to let go and let God show you the way. It's not up to you to figure it out. You don't know how. You never will. Not until God reveals it. I am successful in whatever gives me joy. I also know that I only speak words of love. Love. Life, light, peace, and enthusiasm for my future. God's got this. I only speak words of good, of truth, of creativity. And I'm excited about what is coming forth right now. God's got this. There is no worry when I know that God is in charge. In the silence of your being, just for a few moments, that's all it takes, one brief moment of spiritual awareness, let go and let God reveal. God's got this. God is here, and God is at work. Breathe in. Let go of tension. Let go of anything not of God. Feel the power and presence of Spirit. And know God and I are one. And truly, God's got this. And I am grateful. And so it is.